Well, this is unusual for me to be up here, but I like standing from the floor, but we're going to try it up here this morning. I'd like to talk to y'all about faith, just a little bit, not very much. I'm sure it's stuff that you've all heard before, but that's okay. We're going to talk about it again. Hebrews, let's go there. It's a good place maybe to start with faith. First three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The way I kind of thought about it, as far as the world's being framed, I can only see three possibilities in how the worlds, the universe came together. That it's one, it's always been here. Just whatever, it's always been here. Just go with me. I can see some of you like, what is he talking about? Number two, that it came out of nowhere, out of nothing, without anything. It just happened. And then number three, God spoke it into existence. I can't see any other possibilities. If I'm wrong, or if you have a fourth idea, please let me know. But that's the only three I can think of. It's interesting to know something. You either have to have experienced it, or maybe talk to somebody that is an eyewitness of it. And I know some of us in here are getting a little older than the rest of you. But I don't think any of us here was here when the world was created, you know, whatever, some 6,000 years ago. So I don't have an eyewitness account of it. So therefore, we're going to have to go to some other source. And if you go to Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So let me ask you all a question with a show of hands. We'll do that this morning. How many of you all believe that the universe has always been here? No hands. How many think that it's was just created out of nothing, no existence of anything else, is nothing here? How many of you all think that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you know what you all just did? You displayed faith. A work of faith. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Y'all just exercised God-given faith. Isn't that cool? I like that. It's very important to us, I think, as we go along in life. Where does faith come from? Like I say, I know we all know these things. In Galatians 5, we can run over there real quick. 5 and 22, I believe. Be close. So when a person is born again of the Holy Spirit, there's a new creature, a new creation that's within us. It's the new man that's placed within us. At the same time, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence also within you. So we'll use Brother Jake. When he was born again, there was a new man, a new Jake inside the old Jake that we look at. And accompanying that is the Spirit of God, capital S Spirit. And in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And then we can go on to the others. But faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So at that point, there is a fruit of the Spirit that Jake is, the new man Jake is able to, or any of us is able to enjoy that fruit. Does that make sense? That fruit is there for you to use in the new man. It's there. Let's turn to Romans 12:3. So we're going to start learning a little bit about this. Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So somehow in this process of getting faith, it's considered as a fruit that we can use. But now it says that he deals to every man the measure of faith. It's not, I don't think when he talks of every man here, we're talking of every child of God man or every person that's born again or of the elect. When that instantaneous moment happens and you have your new life, God gives that at that point a measure of faith. Kind of in my way of thinking, it's the same teaspoon or half cup or whatever it is, it's a measure of it, and we each get the same amount. All right? Comes with that aspect of it. If you'll go to 2 Peter 1:5, we'll look a little bit more at it. "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." We back up there. It says, "And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." So I believe your faith doesn't have to stay that same half cup measure. You can add to your faith. In other words, exercise your faith, and it will grow. And you'll have more experience with your faith. You'll be able to step out into areas that you may not have heretofore wanted to step out into when you have an exercising and a growing of your faith. And in James, it talks about, as far as our faith, James mentions the idea that faith without works is dead. If you can show me your faith without works, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. In other words, y'all believing that the foundation of the world was done by God, there's an exercise in that. You're thinking, and it's going to produce a work in the aspect that when you're visiting with somebody that may look at it another way, you can discuss that with them in another way. It changes kind of who we are and our foundations by exercising our faith. So I want to look a few moments now at back in Hebrews, and let's talk about a few folks. Hebrews 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." So here's Noah just doing his thing, and how God came and talked to him, I don't exactly know, but God come and talked to him and told him that it's going to rain. Never rained on planet Earth before. My understanding is Noah lived a long ways away from any large bodies of water. And here's this guy building an ark. Do you know that he started building that thing when he was 500 years old? And it was he was 600 years old when he got done with it. That was a 100-year project. Isn't that wild? Can't imagine. Toting all that wood, hewing all that lumber. That was quite a thing. And as I know you've heard preachers talk about, and we've all thought about, here's this big thing in his backyard, and he had to be ridiculed a lot. But by faith, he moved forward. Isn't that wild? I just can't. In my little experience in life, when I felt that there was something to move forward with, typically there's been a moment that I felt God, that time when God came to Noah and spoke to him. I don't know if God kept coming back or there was just once. But I know in my experience, when I have something that I feel that it's going to be stepping out, there's something that when I start questioning it, I can go back to that moment. So we had felt to leave Nebraska. It was like 1981. It was a while back. Leave family. It was a little hard to do in one respect, but we, you know, for me anyway, probably was elated. We're leaving everything we know, everybody we know, and moving to North Carolina to almost knowing nobody. And I got really kind of tied up in knots over this thing. So I was praying about it one day and had some chickens out yonder. And there was a light pole out there. And I was out there just leaning against the light pole. And it just, this peace of God came over me. And so that all would be well. Just go ahead and do it. So when we got to North Carolina, and it, well, even before that, there just seemed like 100 hard things. I'm like, oh my goodness, what an idiot I am. Am I doing the right thing? But I could go back to that moment and say, I know God was there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't know how it was with Noah, but I got to think through that 100 years. He had to go back to that point when God talked to him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's think about David and Goliath. Don't put me in that situation, please, God. I'm afraid you'd see my faith not at work there when there's this giant out yonder, you know, and you're going out with a sling, you know, it isn't a slingshot like I used as a kid, you know, with the little Y thing and pulled it back. It's the one with two long straps and a leather pouch here, and you put your rock in it and you let loose of one string and that rock goes flying. I've seen people use them. I'd never, ever even tried it because I didn't know which way that rock's going. And I've not been out in the woods enough to where it didn't matter which way it went. Yeah, I was usually trying it by the house. So by faith, he walked out there as a, I'd say young man. I don't think he's a little boy. Just incredible to me to think about that. Abraham. We talk about Abraham's right here in verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I've thought probably these that I've talked about and others, I've thought more about Abraham as far as faith's concerned than anybody else. I don't know why. It's just wild to me to think here he is just living his life. I think he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 years old, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. God told him to get up and leave the land of your fathers. Did you realize that when Abraham was 25 years old, that all of his forefathers cleared back to Shem that came through the flood, you know, were all still alive? All of his forefathers. Go back and read it out. It's amazing to me that here's Abraham, but leave the land of his fathers and go into a land I'll show you. And look here at the end of it, of that verse 8. And he went out not knowing whither he went. God didn't tell him where you're going, I'm sending you. Just get up and go. Last compass I looked at, there's 360 degrees on that compass. Been a while because, well, I can't say that. I've got a compass in my phone. I used it not long ago, so I just think in the old-fashioned kind. 360 degrees. How did Abraham know? And he gathered up. It wasn't like he just got a knapsack and started going. He had a wife. His father was going to go with him a lot. I'm sure they had camels or, you know, tents. It wasn't a small affair just to get up and start going, but he got up and started traveling. I got to think that as he traveled along, he probably was a little bit like Noah maybe. God, am I going the right direction? Am I even going the right way? You know, there was no Rand McNally maps. Does anybody know maps? Does anybody know what a Rand McNally is?
Yes.
A few folks do, yeah, yeah. Some were maps, some were atlases, you know. We carried the atlas just because I didn't like all those different maps in the glove box, so we just had the big atlas. Some of y'all use Google Maps, and there's a few in here that don't want to entice Google any farther, so that you just use Maps, period. You know, no Google Maps, just Maps. Abraham didn't have any of that. He didn't even have a drawing in sand, I don't think. But he went. Not knowing whether he went, he stepped out in faith. When my boys were young, I especially remember it with Stephen and Joshua when they were wanting to join the church, not so much with Jeremy yet, but I remember specifically talking to them about this. And I said, this is faith. You're walking along. Oh, and there's a verse I didn't get to I want to talk about. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight's the stuff we do. Faith is when you step out and you can't see where you're stepping. So I was trying to teach the boys that in a physical sense. So here you are walking along by sight. But when you go into faith, guess what? There's nothing there. And you're just trusting God's going to, you see what I'm saying? Take care of you, hold you up. That's a, in my way of looking at it, a sense of how it is to walk by faith. So, with that said, for many years I've had a desire to preach God's word. I don't think that's probably strange to any of you in here. I was in my 20s when I first had it. I exercised several times in my life, but I always pulled back. It didn't seem right. Well, folks, the feeling, burden, whatever you call it, has come back again. It, you know, I keep trying to bury it, but this time I'm not going to do that. There's some differences this time. So I desire your prayers. It's a strange thing to me, a 65-year-old man going this way. Never saw it. I asked Brother Marty and goes, oh, yeah, I've known some guys that were 55, 58, and not 65. Dallas Church, we need your help here. We need to pray. The last thing I want to do is be a burden to God's people in any absolute nth little degree. I do not want to be a burden. Do you hear me? I'm serious about this. Do not want to be a burden to y'all in any respect. So, I'm stepping out in faith here. I'm trusting in y'all to help. Pray. Got to do the same for Brother Jake. He did this 2 weeks ago or three, whatever. He's in the same boat. We're in the same boat. I jumped in the boat with him. I don't know, whatever you want to say. Stupid way of looking at it. But stepping out in faith. So, all right, folks, here we go.